Hello, and welcome to the show where we ask Rita Harrison, the foremost authority on the Willow System, questions from listeners about health, healing, and happiness. My name is Kim Lewis, so let's get started. Hi, Rita.
Hi.
I have a question from the internet. And the question is, should I feel guilty for kicking my 19-year-old son out? Tonight I kicked my son out of the house. He is very, very disrespectful. Tells me to shut the F up all the time. Extremely lazy. No job. Won't even look for one, though his father has helped him a million times. Lies. He has more chances than I can count. Meaning we've talked, we've yelled, we've given ultimatums. Nothing has worked. So I threatened to call the police if he didn't get out of my house. Now, should I feel bad?
So I think that was very brave of you. You have dared to do something that might be actually the best act of showing love and responsibility. It looks like to me that you tried everything and nothing works, and it also looks like he was verbally abusive. So why would you want to encourage that or not show him that all of our behavior has consequence? So he's now in an age where he needs to see that whatever he does, there's a consequence for him and not just for his father and for his mother. So I think you were very brave to do that, because you can't allow anybody, not even your own son, to abuse you.
This is a question from the internet that I can sympathize with. Why do I wake up in the middle of the night not being able to breathe? Mm-hmm. Lately this week, I wake up in the middle of the night gasping for air. I don't know what it is. When it happens, my heart is racing fast and I just take a drink of water and go back to sleep as if nothing happened. I ask my mom, what could it be? And she thinks it could be my cholesterol. What do you think?
Okay, I think, of course, what needs to be said here, you need to go to a doctor and get probably diagnosed about that. The other thing is that it sounds a little bit like a panic attack, an anxiety attack. Because when you can't breathe and it's in the middle of the night, usually at 3 to 5 in the night, we come into the lung time that comes from the traditional Chinese medicine and has a lot to do with not being able to let go of certain things. So maybe you want to think about that, where in your life frightens you to let go of certain things in order to invite new things into your life. I can't imagine that it's the cholesterol, but of course you always need to be checked for any kind of diagnosis by your doctor. So I would offer to you that you also explore that in a more private session context, where I can ask you more specific systemic dialoguing questions, which I use to explore the subject a little bit more out of your own experience, and the kinesiological muscle test, where we could actually see how this should be approached. If you're stuck in surviving patterns, if you're suffering from an unconscious post-traumatic stress syndrome, or if there's actually something else going on, like hormones or totally other areas, you know, this is very important to really find out what's the combination of root causes, the combination of solutions.
This person was able to drink a glass of water and go right back to sleep. Mm-hmm. I find that myself, I can't go back to sleep easily like that. Mm-hmm. How can I go back to sleep? What can I do to make myself go back to sleep?
So in this specific case of this person, it can also be that they are dehydrated, you know, mm-hmm. and that they just need to drink more water. So in his case, what could be another very good solution is to drink water before they go to bed.
Okay.
And also very early in the morning, you know, soon enough to go to the toilet and all those kind of things. So I think he really needs to dehydrate a little bit better. And when you can't go back to sleep, there's a universal law out there. When you don't have a plan for creativity, the plan for destruction comes up automatically. That means that the fear can be, or if it is an anxiety attack, or if it's something else, that can be very frustrating or fear-causing, and so on and so on. So that we can actually say this is the plan for destruction. And what you could use is, because it's always energy somehow. So you can use this energy that is provided, instead of locking it inside yourself and make it worse, go into something creative. You know, so some people, for example, have the best ideas in the night. They go and write ideas down, whole compositions of songs, books, or something that is weighing on their heart and soul that they want to just get out, you know, in a creative way, whatever that is. So at the end, our system doesn't ask for how we are created. The fact that we are creative at all matters and can turn that around. Yeah, so whereas the creativity, the plan for destruction, can be in control and check. This is actually also good for other areas.
I have a question that came from the internet. 18 and tired of being molested. My stepdad has molested me since I was 13 years old. He married my mom when I was about 11, 12. I was not a social kid at all. I was pretty much antisocial, so I didn't have friends to tell me all about the sexual stuff. My mom has been so blind throughout everything. He was always friendly to me, but looking back now, I can tell how overly friendly it really was. He started off small by asking me to sit on the other side of the room while he was taking a bath. And he would ask questions like, "So, have you ever seen that stuff before?" Then things escalated and escalated until the point where he could come to my room every night to touch and play. He was very clever in doing it all, because he did it in such a way that he can say, "But I never forced you to do anything. And you may all think that it was my fault and that I asked for it. What can I do?"
So I think the very first thing that you need to understand is that it's not your fault. And I can see from how you write this to us that you're taking on a part of the responsibility for his deeds. And somehow you seem to understand something way deeper. I can now go ahead and say, "Oh yeah, this is such a psychopath," and just leave it there with a psychopath box. But that won't help you, because from how you write it, I get the impression that you feel something that's way deeper than that. I don't know why your mom has married again, but what happens very often is that when a mother has a second marriage or a third marriage, depending on why they left the first husband, of course, the mothers can't be available or are not as available to that husband as they were to the first one, for example. So you're actually trapped in a dynamic that where your mom is also a part of it. And I think you express that when you say she has been ignorant of it. She didn't see it. She kept herself out. So this is something that a lot of people don't want to hear now, but it needs to be said. A lot of mothers are co-perpetrators. Not every mother, I must say, but there are a lot of mothers out there who are co-perpetrators by keeping themselves out, and then there's an unspoken subconscious deal between the mother and the daughter. In this case, it's you. I do it for you. I make myself available out of love. But it's not that you do that on purpose. You react to something bigger, to a systemic dynamic. Your mom has a lot of benefit, obviously, from you taking her place. And this is something between you and your mom. So I can imagine that there might be a lot of resentment inside you towards your mom that's totally suppressed. And I don't want to blame anybody here, but in this case, I'm sure you need to be sure that you give back the responsibility to this stepfather as well as to your mom, and step into being innocent and also face how it really makes you feel that your mom actually sacrificed your love for whatever reasons. So questions like those bring up a lot of other questions that can't be just solved in a show like this. So what I can offer is that you contact me and we can have a look in a strategy session, for example, what would be the first step. And the other program that I offer is abuse detox seminars and workshops that help to deal with that subject very effectively.
Abuse detox? What is that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't really know that they are in an abusive relationship. Everybody talks about child abuse or physical abuse, but there are so many mothers who are abused by their children, or a lot of people are in relationships where the abuser is so subtle, you know, and so disguised that they just feel how their energy and self-respect and everything else is fading away, and they blame themselves and they don't notice that they're actually trapped as a victim in an abusive relationship. So what I want to do with this abuse detox day is I want to make it aware. I want to refer to the different types of abusers and how you notice, what keeps us trapped and also what frees us. And then we also have a chakra size class that helps us to cleanse it out in our energy systems, in our chakras, which are energy centers, in our meridians, which are like the energy rivers in acupressure. We use them too in the chakra size, and also our aura, because a lot of stuff gets stuck there and then we can't really free ourselves. So the abuse detox day has both. Provides the knowledge and the know-how, and also a physical program where we can cleanse it out on a very deep level.
That's fantastic. I like to hear that there's somewhere we could go to take care of these issues.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Well, I hope you found the show helpful. And if you have any questions, please send them to info@willowforyou.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at Willow, W-I-L-L-O-W, the number 4, the letter U, .com. Thank you for listening, and hope you'll join us next time. We'll be asking Rita about health, healing, and happiness.